Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Siddle-Reed, my co-host, Gwyn Sheltimer, and our guest this week, Christopher Cameron. So, Chris, you're one of the panelists discussing Sharing Across the Arts, a free event held in the lunch hour on Saturday to which the audience can bring a lunch available for $5 in the Hutton Lounge. Tell us about the panel and what to expect of this event.
I think this is going to be quite exciting. I love panel discussions to start with. A wonderful thing about our group and Spirit of the Hills is that so many of our members seem not to restrict themselves to one particular art form. So we have artists who are writers and poets who are performers and authors who are musicians. In fact, recently, just to blow my own horn, I co-wrote and participated in an evening up at West Bend in Campbellford where we combined designer-made chocolate and classical music and put them together. So the art forms crossing each other. So the whole idea of sharing across the arts, the whole idea of blending the arts, not one discipline, but many perhaps, is the subject in a way of our panel discussion. I'm hoping the discussion will deal with how the blurring of the lines between the disciplines will make artistic creation a great deal richer. And one thing is to point out, where one of our panelists is author K.D. Miller, and she recently released a book, an acclaimed book really, a collection of short stories, linked short stories that were inspired by paintings of Alex Colville, for instance. So in other words, the term that she uses and we use for it is called ekphrastic, which is a $10 word, which just means a blending of the arts, an inspiring of one art by another art. A classic technique, if you think of something like Ode to a Grecian Urn by Keats, someone got that. Anyway, Ms. Miller has brought that into the 21st century with her collection of short stories. So she'll be on the panel as well.
And who are the other panelists, Chris?
We're very lucky to have Dane Swan, who's a performance poet from Toronto. We'll see him elsewhere in the festival as well. And David Newland, a local artist and songwriter as well. And the entire panel is going to be moderated by our very own Alan Bland, who is a member of Spirit of the Hills. Very excited to do it. And we're also going to have audience participation in the panel. So bring your thoughts, your ideas, and your questions.
What are you expecting from this event? How are the audience going to become involved?
Well, I'm hoping to leave that up to Alan, the moderator, but basically, I think in terms of sharing across the arts, not in terms only of blurring up the lines between different art forms, but also in sharing ideas across various art forms between artists. And what we'd like the audience to do is share their thoughts, their artistic thoughts with us. We'll see what we make out of it.
Yes, indeed. So you are going to direct one of the plays for the Drama Night. What do you feel is the role of the director of a play?
Well, that's a good question. I spent a lot of time in my book, Dr. Bartolo's Umbrella, talking about my scorn for various directors. So this will be a fun chance. It'll be like karma coming back on me. I'll tell you a bit about the play. It's called Plan X. It's by Katie Hogendam. As director, I'm going to be the last word in just about everything. The buck stops with me. From original casting of the play to working with the actors to lighting and design decisions, it all falls to me. But that doesn't mean I'm alone. I'm getting a ton of input from Katie, the playwright. She's been really proactive about that. But I even, for instance, had to go out and try to locate some pretend cigarettes because one of the characters has to smoke in the play. And there are cigarettes that you can smoke on the stage that don't actually produce real smoke. Very lucky to work with Katie because she brings a lot of ideas and her own vision to the project. And of course, it was her concept in the first place. It's also a wonderful play. It's got all the elements. It's got beautiful words, it's strong emotions, and it has an ending that will really pull at your heartstrings. And all that in just 10 minutes.
Yes, it is a good play, I agree. So, you said you enjoyed copy editing Hill Spirits 4. The anthology to be launched at the festival's concert on October 26th. Why? What are the special challenges of editing an anthology?
Well, as an answer to your first question, why? I love copy editing. I love editing generally. I love taking a piece of writing and helping the author to make it better. And in this case, I was able to work with, I think, 28 authors, actually. Or 21 authors. 20-some authors.
Yes. So is that a big challenge, or is it just a pleasure?
It was both. It was a challenge because an anthology consists, by definition, of works generally by different writers. And this was one of the joys of editing the book because I got to see so many different styles and voices and writing abilities and genres as well. We had fiction, we have memoir, we have personal essays, and we have poetry. And one thing that I tried to do, which was also the challenge, was to preserve those individual voices. When you're editing a novel, you want to strive for consistency and a consistent voice all the way through the entire book. Whereas when you are editing an anthology, you want everybody's individual voice to stand out. So unlike a novel or a memoir where you try to achieve that consistency throughout the book, the anthology is like that old Bits and Bytes snack food commercial where every story is a whole new ballgame.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And how about reading us a short passage from your own story that you wrote for the anthology, The Sirens of
Wishamagog. Yes.
Wishamagog.
It's a made-up word, by the way, so it doesn't matter. Yes, it's. I was very lucky to be able to have had a story included in the anthology myself. We'll see how well I edited it when we open the book. But this particular story started as a character sketch. I don't think you know this either, Felicity. A character sketch about four women who go for a sunrise swim at a summer cottage. It's also the basis for a collection of linked short stories I'm currently writing myself, although this story won't be part of those linked short stories. It was just the inspiration for it. You might be interested that the piece I wrote was originally 7,000 words long, but I cut it down to 3,000 for submission to the anthology. I have enough words left over for another story. Anyway, this is just a little bit from The Sirens of Wishamagog.
Okay.
One of the ladies going for her swim. They had walked under the silent pine trees in the pre-dawn, a tiny flashlight showing them where to step along the flagstone path to the lake. When they got to the water, Fan raided right in, feeling like she was putting on the most comfortable outfit she had ever owned. She stroked easily away from shore, following Lex, who had slipped in first like a racing sloop being launched. Fan had spent her childhood splashing in this lake and building forts in the trees, and her adolescence scotch-taping photos from movie magazines to the pine walls of her cottage bedroom. Years later, as she had always dreamed of doing, she and her husband brought their own children for vacations before they started going to camp and eventually staying home to work at their summer jobs. For Fan, the lake was always here, the one constant in her life. Its name, Wishamagog, was one of those typical English perversions of an indigenous place name. But as a preteen, she had named it Wish I Might. Her children called it Lake Washing Machine. A wearying sadness had engulfed her lately, one that came from a deeper, wider source than just her deceased marriage. Existential crisis, she might call it, if she used that type of hackneyed language. All her life, she felt she'd been working towards something. Family, people, work, security, home, only to find out the rules have changed. Do I have the energy to change course? What is there to push off from? When the conversation lulled, she swam a little way from the dock and allowed herself to sink into the water. This was a thing she'd been doing since she was a teenager, dropping deeper and deeper, clearing the pressure as she went, until she knew she had to surface or drown. I could just stay down here, she thought, with nothing in front of me, nothing behind me, forever. Wish I might. She became aware of how deep she was and looked up. Reaching for the silver surface above her head, she began to swim toward it. She felt a small stab of panic as it seemed not to be getting any closer. She kicked harder, but there was a weakening in her legs and arms, a graying of her vision. The last thing she felt was a sensation like a belt tightening around her chest.
Thank you, Chris. Many thanks to Chris Cameron for coming in today and discussing some of the exciting events of the Festival of the Arts to be held on October 24th to 26th at St. Peter's Church in Coburg. And I'd just like to remind you of the addresses of the website and the blog where you can find a lot more information. Chris, do you want to read them for us?
Yes. Let's not forget the website for the actual Spirit of the Hills, which is spiritofthehills.org. But almost as important, the address for the blog, spiritofthehills.wordpress.com.
Right. And then, of course, there's our Facebook page, which you will find also useful. And you can access the tickets from there. The most direct way is to go to spiritofthehills.org. To connect with us, please send comments, queries, or suggestions for who we might interview in future programs to us at our website, wordonthehills.com, where all these programs are archived and available to listeners at any time. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us for another program next week on Northumberland 89.7 FM, Truly Local Radio.